Hi, I'm Chris, and welcome to this podcast series exploring the building blocks of great communication. I'm Chris, Managing Director of Strategic Leadership in the UK for BMW. In this episode, we're going to explore how to manage our ego. Let's start with a definition. How do you define ego? We often use ego to mean people who think a lot of themselves, like they're big-headed. But actually, it's a little bit more complicated than that. Our ego is a defense mechanism. It helps us cope with the world around us, and its role is to keep us safe and protect us against the perceived dangers in the world. And that probably doesn't sound too bad. So why do we need to manage it? Well, my friend and colleague Thor has written a whole book on this topic. It's called Beyond Ego. It's a great resource if you want to learn more about this topic. But what he identifies is that one downside is that the ego causes us to think and act in ways that prioritize short-term gain above long-term thinking, and it encourages us to become selfish. So here, managing our ego might mean reducing the ego's grip on your thoughts or your actions and learning to lead from deeper within yourself. Another downside, which is quite common, is that after years of focusing on the world as a risky place, somewhere where we need protection, it tends to rob us of the fact that we could see the world as a more collaborative place, somewhere where there's endless possibilities if only we allowed ourselves to let our defenses down and take a proper look around. In his book called The Chimp Paradox, author Steve Peters describes the ego as a chimp. Although the chimp is not bad or wrong, it can sometimes cause problems for us when it acts out of fear or anger and insecurity. Importantly, Steve Peters says that we can't change the nature of our chimp. He believes it's got its own personality, which is distinct from what he calls the human side of us. And he throws down the challenge that we should all get to know the nature and personality of our own chimp. So he describes the behavior of the chimp as follows. The chimp is quick to react. It jumps to conclusions. It doesn't wait for evidence or reason. It acts on feelings and assumptions. So, for example, the chimp might think that someone is ignoring us or being rude when actually that person's just busy or distracted. And in those circumstances, the chimp could get angry or defensive, maybe even start a conflict with that person. Chimps tend to see threat everywhere. It's always on the lookout for danger, and it tries to protect itself or its tribe. So, for example, the chimp might feel threatened by someone who is different to us or who challenges our way of doing things. And in those circumstances, the chimp might attack that person or avoid them instead of trying to really understand them or show respect for that person. Chimps tend to feel insecure. They need validation. And the chimp is constantly comparing itself to others and worrying about what they might think. So, for example, events could cause your chimp to feel inadequate or inferior or seek approval and praise from other people. And when that happens, the chimp can become dependent or needy, or it may even pretend to be someone else altogether. Now, these downsides are so commonplace. We've all witnessed them thousands of times. We may have even come to think of them as normal, but they shouldn't be normal in our organizational culture. Because remember, the chimp is not you. The human part of you is quite different in its nature, and what we need are more ways of just being us, being our true human self. And that's like saying what's left of our personality when the layers of fear-driven behaviors or fear-driven thoughts are removed. It's a place where a more conscious leadership style emerges. In a way, and this is the challenging piece for all of us, if we're good at operating from a particular ego pattern, it doesn't even necessarily feel like a defensive strategy. In fact, it can sometimes feel more like a winning formula. We've likely been using it for so long, and it's produced many payoffs over our lifetime. But let's explore some strategies to better manage our ego. The first one is to exercise the chimp. When you feel an ego reaction, find a safe way to let that chimp vent its emotions, like talking to a friend or writing out your feelings or doing some physical activity. This will help calm the ego down and release its energy, and then it's less likely to interfere with our decisions or our actions. I remember recently I delivered a keynote talk for a colleague of mine, and it went really well. I felt incredibly proud afterwards. But a day later, I got an email from my colleague with a few points of feedback and some recommendations of how I could have done it differently. And you know, my ego, I could feel that the chimp reacted instantly to those recommendations. And I found myself wanting to argue back and defend and say why I didn't do those things and why I did it the right way. I needed to find a way of letting those feelings out. So yeah, I hit reply and I wrote a reply email and I let the chimp get everything out. But I never sent that email. I left it in my draft inbox. And the next morning, I decided it probably wouldn't be the right thing to send. The second tactic is to box the chimp. And that means challenging your ego's irrational thoughts and beliefs and then replacing them with facts and logic. This helps the chimp see reality more clearly, more objectively, and that will reduce a negative influence on our mood or our behavior. In my story before, I can challenge myself about what was in my colleague's mind. What did I think that they were trying to do in giving me that feedback? Because my ego reacted by feeling that somehow I was being judged or maybe I was being critiqued. But actually, I know that colleague very well. And their motivation was definitely not to critique me. In fact, if anything, they were probably looking to try and help me become even better. The more I focus on that, the easier it was for me to let go of the negative emotions that were attached and actually to respond in a much more human way, in a way that it would be much easier for me to justify later on. The third technique is to nurture the chimp. And this means ensuring that your ego has what it needs to feel secure and happy. This might be care, respect, appreciation, these types of things. That helps the ego feel valued and accepted. If you're leading a team, you want everyone in that team to be the best version of themselves. So you need to lead from a place where vulnerability or psychological safety are normal in your workplace. And that means that you have a responsibility as a leader to be the one who finds ways to put people at ease. And you can do that by being truthful or by talking at more personal levels or by being humble and showing compassion towards others. Our last strategy is the power of the pause. And this is a technique that will help you manage your ego by giving you the time and space to think clearly and then choose the best course of action. It involves simply noticing the thoughts that are being activated by the situation and then what's happening in your body and your mind. It's actually closely connected to the topic of mindfulness, paying attention in the present moment, being curious and open to what's going on. Mindfulness can help you become more aware of your thoughts, feelings, sensations, and then accept those without judgment. Mastering the pause can help you avoid acting impulsively or saying something you might regret or making a bad decision. Let me give you an example of where I got it wrong. I have a 5-year-old daughter, and her favorite drink is a bright pink rose-flavored drink called Bandung. Given any opportunity, this is what she asks for. But I live in a rented house, and I live in fear of this drink being spilt because it stains pretty much anything it touches. Now, on this occasion, in the last couple of weeks, I'd put the drink down and I told my daughter, be careful, hold it tightly if you're going to drink from it. I also gave her a yogurt to eat, and she was taking the lid off the yogurt pot and it got a bit caught at the end. And then suddenly the lid gave way, and I think you can guess where the story is going, because when the lid came off, so the pink drink went not just over the floor, but across the floor and up the walls. And my chimp immediately jumped into action. I had given her that warning. I had told her to be extra careful. And here we are now looking at bright pink carpets, bright pink walls. And of course, what reaction do you think I got the moment my chimp kicked in? So now, with my daughter upset and crying, I suddenly start to think, was that the best way to handle it? Did my chimp do me a favor in that moment? And of course, the answer is no, definitely not. This is not the best way. And it definitely didn't lead to the right kind of outcome. So the power is in the pause. It's catching yourself between the feelings and the thoughts and your subsequent actions.